Trust you found your place in the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And I'll be reading two verses. Philippians chapter 4. Verses 8 and 9 this evening. The Bible says in verse number 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the privilege we have once again to hear from you. We thank you so much for your precious son, dear Lord, that came to this earth and died and gave his life, was broken and spilled out for a lost and dying world. We thank you that you rose again to show that you conquered death, sin, and the grave for our victory. Thank you once again for this time here tonight. May you give me the words you'll have me to say. May they be a source of encouragement and strength and inspiration to each one here tonight. May you stir the hearts of every believer, save the lost. Thank you for what you're doing in the lives of people. I will thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. I will confess tonight that cooking is not one of my specialties. But I'm going to make some statements, and some of you are laughing because you're probably chuckling about the fact that, well, Pastor probably even more badly off than he looks since his wife is not here and cooking is not one of his specialties. But thank God, I guess I still have my mother and others to be able to help me survive this dreadful period. Amen? Amen. But I'm going to make some statements that I deem to be factual and practical and logical about food and cooking. So the first statement I'm going to make is that two people can cook the same item using the same recipe, and the results are vastly different. Amen? I'm asking for your amen because I'm not talking from experience. I'm talking from observation and for practicality. One of the reasons for this difference, I'm sure, can be that one cook is just better than the other, just more skilled, just know their way around the kitchen. That could be one of the reasons. But another reason can be that one chef has made sure that the ingredients that were used to put that meal or that dish together are simply of a far better quality, a higher quality than that were used by the other cook or the other chef. And as a result, the taste was better. That sounds like logical. Fact, actually. I'm good to hear. Even though I can't cook, I'm still stating facts in the area of cooking. It makes sense to me that the quality of flour used to bake bread would affect the quality of the bread. The quality of the cut of beef that you purchase has to impact the quality of the steak that you're eating. A good chef simply has to pay special attention to the ingredients that are used. He or she has to be selective and carefully so. Well, in the book of Philippians that we have been studying for several weeks and months now, we see the writer here, Apostle Paul, who was writing from the prison cell. And even though he was writing from a prison cell, he amazingly was able to encourage believers who had their freedom to rejoice and to rejoice. He was speaking from a heart of joy. Joy that the world did not give and the world could not take away. Amen. And in chapter 4, as we have been seeing recently, he admonished the saints to be steadfast. Verse number 1, "Therefore, my dearly beloved brethren and longed for, my joy, my crown, so stand fast in the Lord. my dearly beloved. He was encouraging them to be steadfast. But we saw as well over the last two messages that he was also encouraging them that if you're going to be steadfast in the things of the Lord, you must have confidence in the Savior. Amen? You cannot be walking around moping and just making it seem as if you serve a dead God, because you serve a living Savior. But he continues in this section of his letter in verses 8 and 9 with an admonition, where he continues along this line. He was really preparing them and helping them for dealing with difficult times in which they were going to live. Difficult times in which they were even living, as he wrote, which is very applicable to where we are in our world today. I can challenge you each and every message to be steadfast, to hold on to the things that you have been taught and the things that you are learning. God is a great God. We have a great mission to accomplish. I can encourage you to be steadfast. I can also tell you to have confidence in the Savior. God has done great things. He's still doing great things. Look around at his goodness. Be confident in the Lord. After all, Jesus got up from the grave. I can tell you to be confident in the Savior. Amen. But in verse number 8 and 9, he gave them some critical advice. That he says, if you're going to be successful in this Christian life, you're going to have to be carefully selective. This is a responsibility you are going to have to take and grab with both hands. And unlike even being confident in the Savior, you're going to have to practically implement some things in your life by way of being carefully selective. Just like a chef who's cooking that dish, and they're making sure that they have the best ingredients so that the output and the result that you are able to enjoy, that it just has a pristine taste about it, that everything about it is just delicious. Didn't just happen by accident. Didn't just happen just because I have skills in the kitchen, but it happened because I was selective about every ingredient that I was utilizing to make that dish. He applies that principle to living the Christian life. Amen? And if we're going to be successful in this Christian life, believers, brethren, saints of God, every person under the sound of my voice, we are going to have to be selective. Amen? So I want to focus on that for a few minutes here tonight, about being carefully selective. The first thing I want you to notice is that in being carefully selective, you're going to have to be intentionally particular. Intentionally particular. You say, Pastor, why is this necessary? Well, we are in a battle. We are in spiritual warfare. The devil is not going to make life easy. He's not going to just sit back and figure I'm defeated and just throw in the towel. He's going to try to make life difficult. He's going to try to make your efforts of none effect. And in this battle in which we are fighting, spiritually speaking, it's not always about fighting harder. It's not always about giving more effort. As well as sometimes that's applicable. But sometimes it's about fighting smarter. Amen? We're going to have to be intentionally particular. No, Paul writes here in verse number 8. And he says, here's some things that you're going to have to be intentionally particular about. First of all, you're going to have to be intentionally particular about things that you process in your mind. Things that you process in your mind. Look at what he says in verse number 8. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Those two words are pretty synonymous here. He's saying saints of God, believers, if you're going to have the kind of productive Christian life that you want to live, living victoriously, you're going to have to live your life in a genuine manner. True and honesty here. It gives the indication of associating yourself with facts. Amen? There's a good admonition here to let gossiping be not something that you engage in. Why? It's founded in things that are not associated with truth. He says, when it comes to what you process in your mind, focus on things that are true, things that are honest. He says, whatsoever things are just, whatever things are pure. Just and pure here indicate again being guided by truth, reason, justice, fairness, done according to principle. Amen? Too many people in this life are not living based on justice, fairness, principle. It's gone out in the street. That whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Here he's talking about things that are delightful, things that are highly pleasing, things that are generally understood to be acceptable. He says, process these kinds of things in your mind. Says whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue. Virtue here has the feeling or the understanding of moral excellence, goodness, righteousness, conformity of one's life and conduct to moral and ethical principles, uprightness. He says these are the things that I want you to process in your mind. If there be any praise, something that's worthwhile celebrating. He says, think on these things. Amen. He says, let these things marinate in your thought process. Let these things be what you meditate on in your mind. This is a very different criteria to what the world is presenting to us. Isn't that so? The world shoves things that are so contrary to this list that Paul mentions here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. All in the name of entertainment. You look at what is portrayed on a television screen by way of movies, Facebook, the music, so-called, that's put out today, websites, do they fit this criteria in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8? I tell you, my family, we try to have a family night on Friday night. And I kid you not, I find it the most difficult and challenging task to find a sensible movie to watch. It is so difficult. I mean, you read all the reviews and listen, one thing I don't like to sit down and watch something for 2 hours and at the end of it feel like I totally wasted my time. I mean, it's annoying. So I try to do a bunch of research before I watch because I do not have 2 precious hours to waste on nonsense. And furthermore, something that's going to actually harm me and harm my children. It's a difficult task. We have to be selective. We were just talking in our Sunday school class this morning about Facebook and what was paraded in front of our faces. It is terrible. Do they fit this criteria? Paul says, think on these things. We wonder how, so why so many people are living an unproductive Christian life. They're not focusing and meditating on these types of things. How difficult it is to find, get an individual today in this day and age to take the time and read a good book. Read a book that will help enhance your Christian walk or motivate you and inspire you to great things. A movie can inspire you to great things. But you got to be selective. It's hard to find. This thing about controlling your mind and meditating on the right stuff, it's so key to living a victorious Christian life. You think about it. Any place on this earth that becomes a place where you can deposit anything, good or bad, you are not selective about what you put there. You know what that's called? A garbage dump. Any place where you can put anything and you're not selective about what you put there, eventually it classifies and qualifies as a dump. Brethren, God never intended for our minds to be garbage dumps. Amen. 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 And the thing about it is, the things and the places in life that we care about, we are very selective for what goes there. And I'm sure ladies, and I'm sure I'm not insulting the gentlemen, but are even very particular. You think about your home, and I'm sure all of us, I hope so. You don't let any and anybody put any and anything on your bed. Anybody here, you put your suitcase on your bed? You put your shoes on your bed? You put dirty socks on your bed? No, that's the place where you sleep. Some of you are saying, oh, Pastor, I know some people who do that. But most of us, we're selective. Why? That's the place where you lay your head. Amen? Okay, well, let's move from the bed one. What about your table, your dining room table? I mean, you come in and, I know parents must be annoyed. Children got their lunch bag all over the school floor, school ground, and they come and they put their lunch bag on the top of the dining room table. No, that's not the right place for it, amen? That's where you eat food. Oh, well, let me move from this one. Maybe some people guilty. Your kitchen counter, you put any and anything on your kitchen counter? No, that's where your food goes. Why you're selective? All right, let's move on. And this analogy, I thought it would have worked well, but it looked like it's not working too well. But generally, we are selective about where we put what. Amen. When it comes to your mind, be selective about what you allow it to enter your mind. Because if you don't put a filter on after you and let it enter your mind, it is very difficult to get it out. You got to put a filter from the beginning. Paul says you're going to have to be carefully selective about and intentionally particular about what you process in your mind. But he goes on and he says not only about what you process in your mind, but he says about certain philosophies that mislead. You look at the verse, look at what he says. He says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard. Paul is saying here, you're going to have to be particularly intentionally selective about what you let people teach you. Amen? Brethren, when it comes to what you are taught, understand that teachings shape your mind, they impact your heart, and they will in turn influence your actions. You were here on Wednesday night. We looked at the matter of the heart. That's why he says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The things that you embrace, the teachings that you listen to, impact your very life. That's why it's so important to listen to sound preaching. And I make no apologies about making this statement. Brethren, it matters what church you go to. The preaching and the teaching that you are under week after week makes a difference in your life. Sound doctrine makes a difference. You know I love good music. You know I love doing things a particular way. But I would choose a church with sound preaching every time, every single time, even if the singing was off. Why? Because the preaching and the teaching and the doctrines of the Word of God being based on principle and being based on the oracles of the Word of God, rightly dividing the Word of truth, will impact my life. And it will impact yours as well. Don't take for granted the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept. It's nice to get both, good music and good preaching, but I'm simply saying that there's an emphasis on this understanding the importance and the relevance of the Word of God in your life. Paul says the things that you have received and heard and learned, you got to be particular. He says the things that you've learned from me, listen, focus on those. Why, there are lots of false teachers out there. And people who sadly mount a pulpit and preach things that are trying to soothe itching ears. Why? Because we're living in a world where people don't want the truth. They want things that make them feel good. Make me comfortable where I am. Be honest with you, when I'm preaching, I'm not trying to step on toes. I'm trying to preach the Word of God, but the Word of God does step on toes. It will do that. Paul says, be intentionally particular about what's processed in your mind, about philosophies that mislead. And he says also, be intentionally particular about people that you mimic. He says, look at what he says. He says, the things that you have both learned and received and heard and do what? Seen in me. Be careful of the people who you choose to let influence your life about what is right and wrong. Brethren, and I said this in our young adult Sunday school class this morning. He says, I said, your best friends ought to be people who help you grow spiritually. Because no matter who your best friends are, after a while, you begin talking like them. You begin thinking like them. You begin acting like them. You begin pursuing the same goals like them or not having goals at all, depending on whether they have any. That's just how it works. You are a product of the five people or so that you generally hang around most often. Paul says, focus on the things that you have seen in me. Here's the thing why it's so important about who we pattern. Because when we see, and I'm telling you, I've seen this in my life and it's biblical. When someone does a particular action, if you are influenced by that person and if you're honest, when you see somebody doing something, whether it's good or bad, in your mind, here's what happens. That action is being condoned. What I mean by that is, when you look around and somebody does something, especially if you look up to that person, what is communicated to you is that because I did this, it's okay. That's why we say the phrase all the time, actions speak louder than words. So even if you tell me that something is wrong and you advise me not to do it, If you do it, what you are really telling me is that it's not wrong, but it's right. And when that is communicated to me, then I feel that it's okay that I can do it as well. That's the power of actions. That's the power of influence. That when individuals are around us doing what is right, it encourages us and motivates us and points us to what is right. When individuals are doing what is wrong, no matter how trivial it might seem, it communicates to us that that wrong action is okay and it's actually right. That's the power of influence. Be careful about the people that you mimic. I get a little cautious at times about my son when he begins to put these sports stars and stuff in high esteem. It's one thing to say that they can shoot a basketball, but I'm concerned about what kind of life they're living as to how high you elevate these individuals. I'm cautious when they're living morally reckless lives and that's their hero. I'm like, well, let's bring them down a peg. You might be able to throw a ball in a hoop, but let it stop right there. I don't want you embracing all these other attitudes. Be careful about who you mimic and who you pattern your life after. Paul says you're going to have to be intentionally particular. But here, very quickly, close to the end here, he says, not only do you have to be intentionally particular, but so importantly, you have to implement principles. Amen. Look at what he says. He used one word here to take this point. He says, the things that you have both learned and perceived and heard and seen in me, do, amen, do, apply the Bible to your life. The part of the Bible that you believe is the part that you put into practice. Be careful of constantly hearing and not doing. That's why James chapter 1 verse 22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. Implement biblical principles in your life. We have enough Bible here to allow us to live the Christian life until Jesus comes. If we would only implement what we have been taught. He says, be intentionally particular, implement principles. And finally, he says, there is an incredible promise. Verse number 9, he says, well, the latter part of verse number 9, he says, and the God of peace shall be with you. He says, God is going to be with you. When you're intentionally particular, you're selective about what you let enter these ears and eyes and by way of these avenues enter your mind and your heart. He says, God is going to be with you. What it simply means here is not that the Holy Spirit leaves you or abandons you if you're a born-again believer conditionally, but he's saying, I will actively work in your life for your good. Amen. I will cause you to prosper. Sadly, there are many Christians who are not prospering because they are not paying attention to their thought life. Their minds have become dump sites. Pornography, bad movies, curse words, left, right, and center. You know, there are many Christians who they may not say the curse word in their mouth, but they're cursing you in their mind. Filthy mind. Why? They're around people who talk like that. They listen to movies with all these words. After a while, you think your mind is going to just absorb these things, and just because you're a New Testament Christian, all of a sudden you're immune? No. There are many Christians who are not prospering because they're not listening and embracing the truth of the Word of God. They're not being helped because they're holding on to bad friends at the expense of their spiritual growth. Paul says, the God of peace will be with you. He'll help you. He'll assist you. And you'll see your Christian life progress each and every day. Paul says, I can encourage you to be steadfast. I can tell you all about the great Savior that we serve. But if you're going to be productive in your Christian life, you're going to have to make some careful selections about what you think about, what you let enter your mind, what you let enter your heart. And God gives you a wonderful promise that God will be with you and help you in being all that He wants you to be.